I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What is this stuff about Phil Kessel? What can you tell us all about that stuff?
Oh, come on, Paul. Come on. Now, I understand why people are sort of reacting to it now, because I think the Penguins are a little bit more in season and in the mainstream consciousness right now. Obviously not as much as the Steelers, but this isn't really a change in philosophy from what Jim Rutherford did over the summer. He made it known to other NHL general managers that Phil Kessel could be had for a certain cost. That cost is high. He's not going to let Kessel go for nothing, but he realizes he has a guy in the prime of his career, you know, maybe toward the time where he's going to transition from his prime to his later years, and I think Jim would be dumb to not listen to things and make it be known that he would be willing to do it. Now, do I think it's likely Phil gets traded? No, I don't. And I don't think it's even reasonable to entertain the idea of it happening, just because I think it's so far-fetched. The Penguins are a better team with him. But Jim is kind of, you know, I don't want to say soliciting offers, but he's just making it known. Like, hey, if you think Kessel might fit on your team, like, I'm not against it. It's just his phone hasn't been ringing off the hook about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, you know, it would be interesting to see if they would do it, just from the standpoint of they do need to probably change a few things. But by the same token, it's hard for me to grasp trading one of your best players or one of your star players. You generally don't get back what you trade, you know, in value.
Right. And how are they going to get better by trading Phil Kessel? Like, they just aren't. I mean, he is one of their consistent, probably their most consistent point producer. You know, you take him out of there, and they're just not going to get the value back. They're not going to improve their team. The one thing I will say, Paul, maybe to be mindful of, if this season does go in the tank, and Rutherford has talked, sort of hinted at, like, using this year to make good for the rest of them, right? Like, if they end up sunk this year and they have to use it as a transition year, and they say, we're going to make sure that the Crosby-Malkin championship window stays open as long as possible, then I think it might make sense to trade Kessel. Because if you can get an offer, if this season is lost, and you say, okay, we're going to hedge our bets that this guy has like 1 or 2 years of good hockey, but we can get a couple prospects, a couple high-round picks, restock, and be good on guys making, you know, very little money on entry-level contracts, and try to do what they did previously, do it again. If Kessel's the piece you have to move, then that's fine. But if they're in win-now mode, they need the guy that consistently produces points and has been one of their best sources of offense. You can't move that.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the other part of it is, I think there's enough other guys on that team that really, you know, that like Phil and know that he's an important part of what they've done. I don't know that you would help your chemistry or whatever you want to call it. I don't know that everyone else in that locker room would be on board with that. And I don't know that you can afford to kind of irritate other people.
No. They love him, and everybody around the Penguins loves Phil Kessel. And, you know, something else, Paul, and I don't think this is a reason why you make a trade or you don't make a trade, but Jim Rutherford does have a bit of a unique background coming from Carolina, and he was the president on the business side, and he gets trying to get people to care about his team. You know, and I don't think he has to do it as much here as he had to in Raleigh, but, I mean, there's a reason why Jim will talk to local beat reporters on the phone one-on-one at length, and he's so accessible. I mean, he wants people talking. He wants you guys on your shows, you know, talking about the Penguins. And so if he goes and trades Phil Kessel, that's not going to get well received. People are going to flip out that they traded Phil. So he better have a darn good reason business-wise, hockey-wise. And I think it's just really hard to find that if you're going to move Phil.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think, you know, it's probably not going to be, at this point in the season, something you really want to do. Jason, this team has really struggled with some consistency. But I, you know, last night they showed they can be really explosive still in spurts. But how do they capture that you know, enough where, you know what, they're able to go and start stringing together a bunch of wins.
Yeah, I think we saw last night, and we've seen bits and pieces of it, and I don't have a magical answer for how they're going to, like, string this together, but my best sort of take on it, or, you know, idea being around this team every day, is they're getting little pockets of what they need to win. It's just they're having trouble putting them all together at the same time. You know, for instance, I was talking to Riley Shane and Derek Brassard today about how much easier it is for them to win games when they're getting scoring from the third and fourth lines. And if you notice, Riley Shane's had a couple goals in games the Penguins have won. Derek Brassard has had a couple goals in games the Penguins have won. It's amazing how if you get some of that stuff, things improve. You know, defensively, they've been very responsible in a couple games. They've also been abysmal in a couple other ones. And, you know, they have to get consistent goaltending. They have to get consistent, you know, defensive pressure and handle the puck in their own zone and all that junk that we always talk about. You know, more people have to score other than 87, 71, and 81. And so if they can get those things to align, which they've done before, they'll be fine. But to this point, they've just been tremendously inconsistent with that stuff. And, you know, you just got to kind of believe it when you see it, whether that stuff will all come together.
Yeah, to me, it's going to be really interesting to see how it works. It really is.
Yeah, because it might not. I mean, it's,
yeah, exactly.
There's no guarantees here.
Here's the other thing. What's the latest with Matt Murray? I see he's on the ice a little bit. What is the latest?
Latest with Matt is he's skated 3 days in a row now doing individual work. He's not been with the team. He's doing a lot of, like, lateral movement. You know, you're, like, in front of your net, skating sideways, backwards, side again, like, kind of in circles. I don't think he's taken any shots unless he did this morning. He skated way early this morning. I was not there for it, but I've seen his other workouts. I'm expecting him back in maybe a week and a half, something like that, loosely, give or take a couple games, Paul. But, you know, I think before Christmas is a reasonable expectation for him. And I also learned a couple days ago, there was probably some speculation on my part, too, I'm guilty of it, of thinking this is like just a mental thing with Murray. You know, they want him to sit down. But I got some pretty good reassurance that it was, in fact, physical. He's healing. And so it will be, you know, just a matter of rehabbing the injury that he had and getting back well enough to play.
You know, Jason, you explained it very well the other day. I guess it was yesterday or the day before. But for my listeners who haven't heard you, explain why it didn't work with Daniel Sprong here.
Well, I could probably talk for 40 minutes about that one. But the coach and what Daniel Sprong brought didn't mesh. And that doesn't mean that the coach didn't like Daniel Sprong. And I try to draw that line. You know, Mike Sullivan expects a certain thing out of all of his players, and Daniel Sprong isn't necessarily the type to give it to you. He might go on another team and score 25 goals, and he's going to be incredibly deficient in other areas, defensively, you know, in his own zone, how he handles the puck in the neutral zone, blah, blah, blah. And some coaches can live with that. Mike Sullivan is not one of those coaches. And so they got caught in this kind of ugly situation where Sullivan was refusing to play him higher in the lineup. Sprong was playing with people who are offensively inept. And then Sullivan's looking at the results saying, hey, dude, you're not scoring. You know, I'm not going to move you up any higher. And Sprong was unable to score because he wasn't playing with good people and he wasn't playing in a role that sort of suits his game. So from Jim Rutherford's seat, too, sort of observing all of this, I mean, you've got this young kid who's not playing. He's probably getting worse. And you have a coach who won't play this guy despite trying over and over again to do it. And so, I mean, that's a lot of stuff that it added up to just the fact that the Penguins, even a couple weeks prior to the trade, had basically come to the conclusion that he's not a fit here, and we have to try to get the best value we can for him. They like Marcus Pettersson. I can see why they did. And Jim just kind of hung on to Sprong until he found a deal that he liked.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he's one of those guys that everyone always talked about, you know, how dynamic he was and how it was just a matter of time. And, boy, it just is kind of disappointing that it really didn't work out because I think he does have some potential. But, as you said, if the coach doesn't like him or the coach doesn't like the way he plays, it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah, and I mean, that sounds rigid, and a lot of people take that to mean Mike Sullivan has an ego. I mean, yes, of course Mike Sullivan has an ego. He won two Stanley Cups. He has a way of doing things that he thinks works. And I don't think any coach is perfect. I don't care if we're talking about hockey or football or whatever, but I think the percentage of what Mike Sullivan has hit on is pretty darn good. And so right now Jim Rutherford trusts him. You know, he's going with the balance of what he's gotten from Sullivan, and it's just not there. You know, it's not working. So from Jim's seat, I understand. You know, he has other areas he wants to address, and I think one of the things he did with the Pettersson deal is set himself up for something else. They've got eight NHL defensemen right now. You know, they have a couple young kids in Pettersson. He's playing on a really cheap contract, and, you know, maybe somebody else wants a Jamie Oleksiak or an Olimata, or, you know, I don't think he could move Jack Johnson, but like some of these second and third pairing guys, like maybe at some point, and you know, also if you want to deal Derek Brassard or whatever, I mean, Jim is in a situation where you can kind of monitor a couple positions, and if he has to address an area of need, he now has a few players with which he can do that.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, Jason, great stuff as always. We appreciate you taking some time, and hopefully we can do it more frequently. And then tomorrow, I guess they got the Islanders. It's been a tough matchup for them, hasn't it been?
It has. Yeah, it's been a couple ones. I think three in a row they've lost to the Islanders. Weird thing about the Islanders, they stink against everybody else, but they're killing the Metropolitan Division. I think they have like 10 Metropolitan wins. So this is a game the Penguins have to have, man. They absolutely got to get this one at home and keep this thing going.
All right, Jason. Hey, thanks so much, buddy.
All right, Paul. Thanks for having me. Take care.
He's Jason Mackey, Post-Gazette, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at PittsburghPostGazette.com. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.